Mornings can start feeling the same. Wake up, brush teeth, go to work. But with breakfast from Wendy's, it's like, wake up, brush teeth, baconate with a breakfast baconator, roll with the sausage breakfast burrito, buddy it up with a honey buddy, or get seasoned with seasoned potatoes, and then go to work. Sorry. When you're ready for a fresh wake-up call, gotta be Wendy's.
At participating U.S. Wendy's during breakfast hours.
I'm John Batchel with Jared Dunleavy and James Hassan, whose new book I highly recommend. It's a tough read, however. When you see what could have been done, the untold story of Biden's fiasco. It's August 15, 2021. Ghani, the president of the country, a man who has been kept in power by the U.S. and NATO for some time with full understanding of his responsibilities, flees the country in a helicopter, and he now is in the Middle East, to my understanding, and living out his life explaining himself. That event, however, means that there is no leadership in Kabul. The police chief, the generals, they all flee, grabbing helicopters from Hakia, the airport at the center of the city, and fleeing. So, Jerry, I come to you at this point. We begin a crisis at Hakia. We need to describe that airfield. Where was it, and why was it a catastrophe to choose Hakia for an evacuation, Jerry?
Yeah. So the acronym HKIA, Hamid Karzai International Airport, or often called HKIA. This is an airport in the middle of Kabul, and this is the place that the Biden administration had chosen to do its evacuation from. So we should have chosen Bagram, and the State Department, in fact, was warned even by the command sergeant major at Bagram that to do a NEO, an evacuation through Kabul airport would be a disaster, that it should be done through Bagram. But because of President Biden's decisions, we shutter Bagram. We have to do the evacuation through Kabul airport. Well, now when Ghani flees, the Afghan government collapses and the Taliban walks into Kabul, now we have to do an evacuation through Kabul airport, but we have to do it with the Taliban in charge and with reliance on the Taliban right outside the gates of HKIA. And so and keep in mind, President Biden, in his mind, he tried to reduce our U.S. military footprint to something like 600 troops. That was not nearly enough to maintain order. And you see that in those dramatic scenes when the airport was overrun in those early days of mid-August 2021. Tens of thousands of Afghans trying to flee the country, the scenes of Afghans clinging to planes, and even as planes take off, Afghans falling to their deaths. We call that it's called the Night of the Zombies in our book. And it was a terrible, terrible situation. Because of Biden's decision to reduce U.S. troops to that level, the Taliban is able to walk into Kabul. All that we have is the airport, and we have to flow now 5,000 to 6,000 troops back in. And now these U.S. service members are tasked with getting out thousands of Americans, tens of thousands of Afghan allies and others, all while the Taliban is right outside the gates. And the Taliban is sometimes turning Americans away from the gates, sometimes beating Americans, turning our Afghan allies away, beating our Afghan allies, sometimes killing Afghans within full view of some of the Marines in sniper towers. And at the same time, we have a massive ISIS-K threat as well, because the first thing that the Taliban did when they took over Bagram on August 15th is they opened the doors to the prisons at Bagram. And those prisons held something like 2,000 ISIS-K terrorists, dozens of Al-Qaeda terrorists, and thousands of Taliban fighters. And they opened those doors. And among those ISIS-K prisoners who were freed was the man named Abdul Rahman al-Laghari, who would go on to carry out that terrorist attack at Abbey Gate at Kabul Airport on August 26th. And so The simple matter is that keeping Bagram was smart for about 10,000 different reasons. But one simple fact is that if we had just held on to Bagram, the suicide bomber who killed those Americans and killed those Afghan civilians, he would have been sitting behind bars rather than being able to carry out a terrorist attack.
John, if I may, I'd like to just jump in and add kind of some color about what transpired on the night of the 15th, because as Jerry mentioned, on the 15th and kind of bleeding into the morning of August 16th, as Jerry mentioned, Americans saw the images of Afghans falling from departing U.S. Air Force planes. And we kind of discuss who those Afghans were in detail in our book in Kabul, and also kind of what led up to it. But just to paint the scene, because we only had 600 troops in the country, which is about commensurate pound for pound with what you would have guarding an embassy in almost any other Middle Eastern nation, the military had to rely on the Afghan military to help defend the perimeters of Hekaya, of the Kabul airfield. And when the Afghan military fled, half of the perimeter was completely exposed. And the military did not have the manpower to defend that entire area. And on top of that, several units were flying back and forth to the embassy to evacuate all of the State Department staffers who were still there because the State Department had not issued, had not evacuated them beforehand. So you had, several hundred troops at the most trying to basically guard the most critical infrastructure on the airfield. And the gates were opened and, tens of thousands of Afghans swarmed the airfield. And the troops on the ground had to form basically a protective perimeter standing shoulder to shoulder surrounding the command center at Hamid Karzai International Airport, because if the command center was overrun, then there would be no evacuation at all. Everything would be lost. And in fact, during that time, several of the control towers at the airport were destroyed by the mob. And so the Marines and Air Force special operators had to conduct air traffic control for the entire evacuation, sitting underneath a tent using handheld radios and maps. And it's just an absolute feat of ingenuity that they were able to do it at all. That's kind of the backstory behind the scenes that everyone saw when everyone was flooding the airfield. And to be able to clear the runways so that reinforcements could land, the military kind of made a last second decision to put two Apache attack helicopters in the air and have them fly, just a few dozen feet above the runway and use the force of the propellers to clear the crowd. Things were that dire.
Yes, I understand. We're talking about the Marine Corps and the U.S. Army, the 82nd Airborne Elements of, and the Marines, 1st Marine Division Elements of, coming in very quickly to conduct the NEO. James, I got the sense that they'd been on other missions and were given a hurry up to gather themselves together and get into Kabul. Is that correct? They were not waiting on the tarmac for this catastrophe.
That's generally correct. The Marines from 2nd Battalion, 1st Marines, were in Jordan and other places. They were part of their mission was to be on standby to some degree. The 82nd Airborne troops were in Fort Bragg, North Carolina, and they both got spun up at the last second.
Right.
They had absolutely no idea what they were facing, and they had to do their best.
The book is Kabul, James Hassan and Jerry Dunleavy. When we come back, it gets worse. This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Madden.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor. Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.
You want your child to thrive and reach their full potential. K-12 can help them get there. K-12 powered schools are tuition-free, accredited online public schools for students in kindergarten through 12th grade. This is not your typical homeschooling. With state-certified teachers specially trained to teach online, your child will learn at their speed, at home, with innovative, engaging technology. Join the more than 3 million families who've chosen K-12. Go to k12.com/podcast to enroll today.